Hey y'all, welcome to episode 3 of my Dollywood Adventures podcast. I am going to make this kind of short today. It's just going to be a kind of quick sort of podcast on the 7 main roller coasters that Dollywood has at their park. I just kind of want to go over what they have and kind of the intensity level of the 7 of them, just so that you kind of know what to expect when you get there. I have a lot of people ask me about, you know, can I take my kids there? I have a 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, you know, that age range, and is it a good place to take them? So I just want to talk about their roller coasters, the top 7, the 7 that they have, and then, you know, just kind of describe that it really is a place where if you have a child who likes to ride roller coasters, the size requirements that they require on each of them, and, you know, if they, the kind of the intensity that the intensity that they have on them. So when we walk in the park, we always go to the left, which is towards Timber Canyon. We kind of do it like in a clockwise kind of route. So if you walk through the park, through the main gates, and make a left, you go up through Timber Canyon, and the first roller coaster on your left is the Thunderhead. Thunderhead is a wooden roller coaster. At one point, it was named the fastest wooden roller coaster in the country, and it has now been surpassed, but it still remains very fast. I think it reaches 70 miles per hour, and you feel that the entire time. So it is a wooden roller coaster. If you listen to my last podcast, I talked about the new wood that they replaced, some of the old wood on the Thunderhead with new wood, and it has helped dramatically, in my opinion, improve the quality, the smoothness. It doesn't beat you up as much as it used to, so they've definitely improved the roughness that it used to have with the new wood that they have now replaced. So the first one is the Thunderhead. It's wooden. It is nonstop fast. As soon as you go down the first drop, the first hill, it is nonstop for the rest of the time. I have only ridden it on the very front row. I've never ridden it in the back, but as you know, if you've ever ridden any kind of roller coaster, the back is always more intense than the front. So this one would, in my opinion, be no different. The front, of course, is the less intense, only because you are starting down the first hill where you don't get that same intensity as the back that's being pulled over the first drop. So it's a little bit, it's definitely less intense in the front than it would be in the back, but I've only ridden it in the front. But once you drop down that first hill, it is nonstop. I mean, it's fast. You will have tears coming out of your eyes by just default. Like, it just happens. You can't stop it. It just happens. But it's a lot of fun. And again, the improvements that they've made on the wood and the smoothness of it has definitely helped. So I would say in the front, again, I can't vouch for the back, but the front is definitely a good solid 6 or 7 on intensity, only because it's just nonstop. Once you go down that very first drop, you're nonstop the whole way. The second roller coaster that you're going to come to, and before I go to the second one, the Thunderhead is 48 inches. You have to be a minimum of 48 inches to ride. And it is a lap bar with a seat belt as well. So you have the lap bar that comes down and the seat belt that locks in. And it's, of course, 2 per car, side by side, of course, you know, 2 per car, and it's a lap belt and seat belt. So after the Thunderhead, then it's the Mystery Mine. It is a vertical lift. And if you don't know anything about vertical lift, it is exactly what it says. It is a vertical lift. So there's two lift hills in the Mystery Mine, and you can't see either one of them. Both vertical lifts are within the building of Mystery Mine. And I think the second vertical lift is, of course, it's the taller one, but I think it's only like 80 or 85 feet. It's not very high. But when you're again going up a vertical lift, if you've ever done one before, they're intense in their own level. It doesn't have to be that high for it to be intense, because you honestly feel like you're about to slide out backwards, which is, it's a cool feeling, but it's also creepy and it's weird. But once you know what to expect, you're kind of excited for it the next time you ride it. Since it is a vertical lift, there are only 8 total seats per car. It's 4 and 4. So you literally have 2 rows, a front row and a back row, and it's 4 and 4. It is a shoulder pull down only. There's no lock, like there's no seatbelt lock in place. It's just you pull it down until it clicks. And I don't even think it clicks. I think it just fits in place. Like you just pull it down as far as you can. Tennessee Tornado actually clicks, but Mystery Mine, you just pull down and, you sit there. You're in a seat. But it's not, the kind of seat where it's kind of almost like a bicycle seat that you'd be sitting on, like if you were riding a bike. But, regardless, it's 4 and 4. It's a vertical lift coaster. The theming elements and what makes Mystery Mine, honestly, is the best part of the ride. It's not a very intense ride, because it's dark, because most of it's inside. The pyrotechnics, the theming, the big screen that they have, that's what ramps it up, I think, a couple of notches. The ride itself is probably like a 5 or a 6. It's not the most, I don't want to say it's not the most fun, because it's so much fun, but it's only so much fun because of the theming that they have there. But I would say probably a good solid 6, but at the same time, it's one of our favorites. So don't take the 6 to be like it's a bad ride. It is so much fun. It's just not one of those rides that's gonna, you know, scare you half to death. It was the first roller coaster that my daughter, before she turned 7, she was actually 6, she rode it, and it was the first roller coaster that she rode upside down. And she, it was amazing. She was brave. She had always talked about riding it. And when she finally reached 48 inches that you require, she was able to ride it, and she conquered it. And she's ridden it numerous, countless times ever since. So it's definitely fun. Like I said, it's got the pull down, shoulder restraints that just kind of locks you in place, and you have to be 48 inches to ride it. So that's the Mystery Mine. And then next that you will come up to is the Fire Chaser. The Fire Chaser is a low 39-inch requirement. Savannah rode it when she was 4, about to turn 5, and it was her very first roller coaster she ever rode, and she fell in love with it. That is where her love of roller coasters came. It is the most, by far, the most fun roller coaster at Dollywood. I have ridden it 10 times in a row with Savannah. I'm talking, when I say in a row, we got off the ride, got right back on it. I'm talking with no wait, no nothing, in September. We have what is called a fall break where I live in North Georgia, and fall break is where the third week in September, the school system gives everybody a week off. So school is closed the third week in September, and a lot of people go to the beach. A lot of people go on vacation. Some people just have a staycation at home. And a couple years ago, we decided to go up to Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, and this is where my love of Dollywood came to be. My mom actually bought us a trip, like a day pass tickets to go to Dollywood. It was my mom, my dad, my husband, and our 2 kids. We went to Dollywood for the day. I'd never been before. It was September of 2016, and there was nobody there. Like, I'm talking nobody there. And we were able to enjoy the park. We took our time. Of course, we had never been there, so we just walked through it. It is where I fell in love. My family fell in love. So we try to make it a point to always go back during fall break, which again is the third week in September for us here, because it is always completely dead up there. And this past year, of course, was no exception. Savannah and I have ridden the Fire Chaser 10 times in a row before, to where I had to tell her, I gotta take a break. So it is a small 39-inch requirement. It is a forward and backward launch roller coaster. It is by far on intensity level like a 4 or 5. I mean, intensity is nothing. I mean, there is not one part of it that, unless you just have a child or you are just the type of person who does not like any kind of roller coaster whatsoever, anybody can ride it and have fun. It launches you out of the station. There's no big lift hill. The only hill that they have doesn't make you drop straight down. So I can't even say that they have a lift hill. They just have a hill that just takes you up in elevation, but it just slowly kind of comes back down eventually to where the station ends up at. They launch you forwards out of the station. Once you go through the ride, it ends at a firework shed. And again, the theming, of course, is amazing because it is what looks like this barn or this shed that has all these fireworks in it. There's a fire element to the left. So if you have a child who would not want to be near the fire, you're going to want to have the child get on the ride first. So we do it every single time, even though Savannah has ridden it, I'm talking probably close to the hundreds now. I always let her get on the ride first so that she is just not sitting next to the fire when you go into that firework shed, because I just don't want her to be close to the fire. She likes it. It doesn't bother her the way it used to when she first started riding the ride. But still, if you have a kid who doesn't want to be near the fire, let them get on the ride first so that when you go into the fireworks shed, you're going to be the barrier between the child and the fire that comes up. Again, it's real fire, but at the same time, I mean, it's just a theming element that they have that's completely controlled and completely safe. But to a kid, it's a little intense. And then it launches you backwards out of there, and you go backwards, you know, for just a very short period of time. And it is a lot of fun. It's a 10, 10, 10 on our list. We love it. It's not very intense, but for fun, it's a 10. It's amazing. Across from the Fire Chaser is the Wild Eagle. I've ridden the Wild Eagle twice. The very first time I rode it was January 1st, 2017. I will never forget that day as long as I live. We had just gotten season passes given to us for the 2017 year. And Dollywood, it was the last opening day, or the last day they were open for the 2016 year. It was January 1st, 2017, the last day they were open. They weren't going to be open back up until March of 2017. And my family and I wanted to go up there one last time before they closed. So me, Greg, Savannah, Easton, and I loaded up. We went up to Dollywood on Sunday, January 1st, 2017, and there was nobody there. It was about 50 degrees and it was drizzling a little bit. It was just overcast with just like a little bit of drizzle. And I honestly think it was enough between it being Sunday and drizzling. I think it was just enough to keep everybody away. And Greg walked right on the Wild Eagle without any wait, any hesitation, any anything. And when he got off, he made me essentially go ride it. He told me I had to go ride it. There was no wait. There was no excuse. And so it was one of those things where it was like, okay, I'm gonna do it. And I had my pick of any seat that I wanted, and I was just a little too chicken to ride on the front row, so I rode on the second row. I rode on the second row, the right wing, so it's kind of opposite. So if you're wanting to ride, when you go and you get on the ride, if you're wanting, since it's a winged coaster, let me tell you that first. It's a winged coaster made by B&M, and it is where you have two seats on the left wing and two seats on the right wing. You have nothing above you, nothing below you. It's different. I've ridden the Batman where you ultimately can't see above you because you're suspended above you, but I've never ridden anything where I don't have anything below or above me. So when you go to get on it, when you walk through, you essentially get to pick if you want to ride on the left side or the right side. But at the same time, it's almost opposite to where if you wanted to ride on the right side, you need to go up and go to the left. So if you're ever going to load on the Wild Eagle and you want to ride on the side that is closest to where everybody is standing to watch, then you're going to want to go up and then go to the left. So I went up, I got up, went on to the left side, and ultimately got on the second row because I was a little too chicken to get on the front row. I sat on the very outside. I remember locking my restraint and seatbelt in place. You have to be 50 inches to ride. It is the highest requirement that they have at Dollywood. So everything else is 48 except for the Wild Eagle is 50. So if you measure 50 inches or taller, you can ride everything at the park. Wild Eagle is 50. You have a, it's the best part. I think it's the most, I don't want to say like safe. First of all, I feel like it's the safest ride there because you have a shoulder restraint that comes down that locks in place, as well as a seatbelt that comes up between your legs that you lock in place as well. They also have this, it's almost like a vest that tightens as the ride goes on. So you don't have, you know, those rides where you have like this big shoulder restraint that comes down and you're banging your head back and forth between it. And by the time you get off, your jaws hurt and you have a headache and all that stuff. These have such a broad shoulder restraint that goes out so far that you don't hit your head on it whatsoever. The vest is actually what keeps you safe, keeps you in place, and it tightens as the ride goes on so that if for any reason it's loose when it starts out, it will tighten as the ride is over so that you don't feel in any way like you're loose in the ride. The negative aspect of that is that sometimes when the ride's over, you almost are too tight in it. I mean, there's been a couple times that Greg's gotten off and he's been like, oh, you know, that really tightened me up. And it was, you know, really, really constricting there towards the end. But regardless, I got on it. Greg got on it first and then told me I had to go ride it. So I got on it. I rode the second row on the right wing on the outside. And I remember going up the first lift hill, the very first hill, thinking like, my God, what am I doing? It was a creepy feeling. There was nothing above me, nothing below me. And I just remember like thinking I am high up here. The ride is built on a hill. The drop is actually shorter than the drop for the Tennessee Tornado. But because it's built on a hill, it looks so much higher. And I honestly think that's the reason I've only ridden it twice. The lift hill just looks huge. But as soon as you go down that first hill, you go into the first loop and you're home free after that. It is so much fun. It is the smoothest ride there. But that first lift hill is a doozy. I would give it a good 8 or 9 on intensity level because you have so much suspense, you have so much anticipation going up that first hill that it is just, it makes it more intense than really the ride is. The ride is so much fun and it's so smooth, but it's got some intense intensity, especially building up to it whenever you're going up it for the first time. Again, 50 inches, and it's got a shoulder restraint that pulls down, and then as well as a seat belt that comes between your legs that locks in place. You've got nothing above you, nothing below you. You're just suspended there on the wing. So that's the Wild Eagle. You leave and you again make your way down, and in the corner is the Tennessee Tornado. It was built in 1999 and it's made by Aero. If you know anything about Aero roller coasters, you know that they're rough. This one is not that bad. So don't rule it out just because you may see how it's built and you may see the train and you may think, oh man, this one's going to beat me up. It's not bad. It's very short. It's got a long train car, but they only run one car at a time, but it's very long. So but at the same time, it goes by quickly because the ride is so short. So, you know, it's kind of a catch 22 where they only run one car, but at the same time, the one car, it's a short ride and it's a long car. So, you know, it is what it is, but it was made in 1999. All it has is just the shoulder restraint that locks in place. So instead of just pulling it down to where it just stops where it naturally wants to stop, this one you have to click it down in place. I always click that sucker in as hard as I can. And the times, there's been times where I can't quite click it down as far as I want to click it. And there's that little bit of give where like I'm going up the lift hill and I'm like, God, like I just don't like that little bit of room, you know, where I'm just moving around a little bit more than I'm comfortable with. But you have to be 48 inches to ride it as well. I have ridden it on the very front row as well as the very last row. They're two different. They're totally, two totally different rides from the front to the back. So the front row is so much fun. I love it. It's amazing. It's not as intense. It's the weirdest part is where you're going through the first loop, which is a huge loop, and you're almost like suspended in midair because the train is so long and it's taking everything to catch up to you. So you're stuck in midair for just a second. The last row is nonstop. By the time you are just about to get to the top of the hill, you're already pulled over and going down and going into the tunnel where they take your picture and going into the loop. It's intense. So if you like the more intense ride or you don't care where you sit, you know, definitely sit in the back. The very first time I rode it was I sat in the middle. Like I just walked on and I didn't really care where I sat, and I sat in the middle and it was fine. The next time, funny story I'll tell really quickly, it was Mother's Day of last year, and there was nobody there. It was, again, just a very, very quiet day there. It was on Sunday, actual Mother's Day, and I decided I wanted to ride the Tennessee Tornado because there was, again, nobody in line for it. It was pretty early when we got there, and I went and got on it. I was sitting in the front row. I had my shoulder restraint on and I was by myself. I mean, it was just the four of us. And of course, Greg stayed with the kids. And I hear, I'm noticing like we're not leaving the station. They're not saying we're all clear. And there was only like four of us on the ride. There was nobody on the ride. And I hear the attendant saying, oh, hang on, I think that's her. And then I see the attendant who essentially lets the ride finally leave the station. I see them saying, okay, yeah, I see her. And I'm not really paying attention. I'm just paying attention enough to know that they're talking, but I don't really know what exactly is going on. And next thing you know, my little sweet daughter jumps in the seat with me, and she has decided that she wanted to ride it with me. And somehow, thank God, she ran up the queue line all the way through there, which is a very, very long queue line. She made it all the way up there, essentially found me on the front row somehow, I'm not sure, and jumped in the seat with me, and I could not believe it. I remember looking at her, and I'm like, do you want to ride this? And she's like, yeah, and you could tell, like, she's got fear and excitement and anxiety, like, all on her face, and I have never been so proud of her in my life. She decided to write it on her own. We don't make her write anything that she's not comfortable with. If she says she wants to write something, then we let her write it. If she says she doesn't, we don't push it. And so I decided I wanted to go write it. And after watching it run through its cycle, she decided she wanted to do it too. And Greg told her, we'll go catch up with her. And my goodness, she did. So that was one of the coolest things ever, especially on Mother's Day, to have my daughter decide on her own that she wanted to ride with me. So we rode on the front row. It is so much fun. The only other thing that I would suggest is, if it is raining at all, do not ride the Tennessee Tornado whatsoever. Probably don't ride any roller coaster, but I've not experienced any other one in the actual rain versus like a small little drizzle. If there are actual raindrops falling from the sky, do not ride the Tennessee Tornado. My brother-in-law and I rode it in December. And we were in line. It was beautiful. Like, there was, you know, it was just a little bit of like the kind of dark clouds here and there, nothing crazy. And then all of a sudden we were the next ones to get in line on the front row, and it started pouring. And the attendant said, oh, by the way, it's going to feel like needles. It's going to feel like an exfoliant on your face, you know? And we were like, ha ha, that's funny. He was not joking. The pain from the rain coming from the sky on the Tennessee Tornado was almost unbearable. It hurt like a mother. So if you see it raining and you're going to ride something that goes essentially 70 plus miles an hour, I would suggest waiting till it stops raining. But regardless, Tennessee Tornado is one of my favorites. My mom actually rode it this past weekend and she liked it. I think now that she knows how it goes and what it does, you know, she feels more comfortable with it. And it's just like any ride. Once you do it once, you think like, oh, I can do that again. And it's a lot of fun. 48 inches, just a harness, you know, just a shoulder restraint that you pull down. And depending on where you sit in the front and the front is not as intense at the back, you know, so, but it's a lot of fun. Winding down through Craftsman Valley, you go to the Blazing Fury, which is on the right. It is an indoor roller coaster that was built in 1978. Intensity is, you know, a 3 or a 4. It's very infantile. It's very basic, but the nostalgia of it, the theming, of course, that they have on the inside, it's a lot of fun. All it is just a small wooden roller coaster inside, indoors completely. It has a couple little drops, nothing crazy. My sister, who's not big on roller coasters, she likes it. It's her favorite one there. That and the Fire Chaser. So that one's a lot of fun. It's just a lap bar and that's it. You don't have a seatbelt or anything. It's just one little lap bar that comes down. And that's it. And, so after then you have to be 42 inches to ride it. I don't think you have to be 48. I think it has to be 42. Because Easton is not big enough to ride that. He's big enough to ride the Fire Chaser, but he's not big enough to ride, Blazing Fury, which I think he would do okay with, but you know, he's 40 inches right now. So he's not been able to ride that yet, but I'm 99% sure it's 42. So once you leave Craftsman's Valley, you come down pretty much down the hill and I guess the next one and the last one is Lightning Rod. So we've got Thunderhead, Mystery Mine, Wild Eagle, Tennessee Tornado, Blazing Fury, Fire Chaser. Yep, Lightning Rod, number 7. So Lightning Rod is 10 out of 10. 10, 10, 10, 10 on intensity. It's insane. I have ridden it once. I vowed that I'll never ride it again. Only because it's insane. I mean, it's 1,000% completely insane. We will be going back, not this weekend, but next weekend, for spring break. And I'm going with one of my best friends. Her name is Sarah. We did not get to ride Lightning Rod last time. I can't remember if it was not running or if we just chickened out. don't remember. But we didn't ride it last time. She wants to ride it this time. Greg has ridden it once in the dark back in December and said that was the craziest thing he's ever done in his life. So he wants to ride it again. Sarah wants to ride it. I will commit to riding it, but I am nervous. I rode it for the very first time in like 36 degree weather in December of 2016 on the very last row, and it is insane. It has a lap bar and a seat belt, and it has actual leg, you know, those like massage chairs where like you actually can like put your legs in and it like conforms to your leg. Like that's what this is. It's like an area for your feet to conform to. And it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. You have to be 48 inches to ride it. And it is intense nonstop the whole entire time, the whole entire way. It is a launch up the hill. So you're going 45 miles an hour up the lift hill. And it doesn't sound that bad when you say it out loud. It just, and when you look at it, on one hand, you're like, man, they're hauling it up that hill. But on the other hand, you're like, oh, that doesn't look that bad. When I rode it, for the one and only time I've ridden it, I had my eyes closed until probably 3/4 of the way through it. And I don't close my eyes on rides, but I could not open my eyes. It is insane. It is intense. It is fun. It is crazy. It is unbelievable that a ride can be that way. So it's wooden. It's not rough in any means. It's almost, I don't want to say it's not a hybrid, but it's almost like a hybrid, even though it's wooden. It's got some, smoothing elements to it. It's made by, RMC, which is Rocky Mountain Coaster. They've had some issues. They've had a lot of issues with it, because it has been, it's such a specialty ride. It's got the launch up the lift hill has made the ride kind of have some issues. I mean, it's down more than it is running. It seems like, especially for the 2018 year. I know it's caused a lot of grief for some of the visitors, especially the day pass visitors who's only coming there for the day. You know, they come there, especially just for that one ride, because it is technically the world's fastest wooden roller coaster. You know, to come for that one ride and it to be down, is definitely caused, I think, Dollywood probably their number one, complaint that I've seen across comments, across, YouTube videos, just things like that. So, don't fault Dollywood for it. It's one of those things where it's such a specialty roller coaster. It's world class. It's one of a kind. You know, and safety is first. I mean, safety is the number one thing. So if there's anything that's going to make it not be 100% safe, then they're not going to run it. They're legally not going to be able to run it because it won't run if something is off, if one little thing is off. So, you know, I know that they've had some issues with it, but in December it was running. When we went on opening weekend, it was running. So I think for the most part, knock on wood, they have gotten a lot of the issues worked out. But at the same time, I mean, it is so specialty. It's such a unique roller coaster that if something is not working, they're not going to run it. So, you know, other than that, there's still 6 amazing roller coasters to choose from. There's other thrill rides that you can, like, for example, the Barnstormer. It is a swing. I talked about this in my last, podcast, that it's basically like a Jolly Roger on steroids. It's a swing that goes back and forth. It, to me, is more intense than the Tennessee Tornado, and it's not even a roller coaster. The drop line. Savannah has ridden the drop line. She decided to ride it back in December when we went on her own accord without anybody asking her to, telling her to, begging her to, anything like that. And, you know, those two rides especially are not roller coasters, but they're thrill rides. And, you know, so it's, they have six other roller coasters. If Lightning Rod for some reason isn't running, they have six other roller coasters, you know, at least two other thrill rides that are, they're very intense. They're two rides that I won't ride. So, you know, it's just, it's one of those things where it's like any theme park. It's like any place you'll go, whether it's Six Flags, whether it's Carowinds, whether it's, Cedar Point, like there's always going to be something happening at some park where something's not going to be running. So don't fault Dollywood for it. Don't hold that against them. It's just, you know, it is what it is, and safety is the number one priority, especially there. You can tell how much they care about their patrons and care about their customers, and they're going to make sure that safety is 1,000% number one. So those are the seven roller coasters they have. They're obviously getting the Dragon Flyer, in Wildwood Grove opening on May 10th for season pass holders who have their ticket, or May 11th for the general public. And it's just a Vekoma, suspended coaster. I don't know what the height requirement is going to be yet, but they describe it as a family coaster. And the Fire Chaser is a family coaster at 39 inches. So I'm assuming it's going to be somewhere in there. The Lift Hill, I think, is only like 60 feet, somewhere in there. It's not got one of those big lift hills at all. So I'm excited about that, because I'm not big on the big lift hill. So I'm pretty excited about that. So anyway, those are just the roller coasters they have, as well as a couple of the thrill rides, and how they are managed, and how you sit in them, and how the restraints are, and how the height requirements are, and things like that. So thanks for listening to the short roller coaster podcast that I have. And if you have any questions, as always, send me a message, send me an email, anything like that. Connect with me on social media. I will be glad to answer it. Thank you.